The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director with a little smirk on his face over there. I love seeing that beautiful face every single week here on Tony Curry's YouTube channel. We're getting after it. 19 shows strong, my friend. This is one of my favorite ones because we do it every single week. We talk UAB sports, UABSports.com, UABSports.com, and all kinds of great. I know I just saw a story last night on my local news that spring practice is still going. They're wrapping up spring practice, so that means college football is right around the corner, and Trent Dilfer for his back his third season. So we're looking forward to that. First of all, how are you doing, Mark? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, we've got a spring showcase. It's not really a game, though there'll be some simulated scrimmage to it. But this Saturday, doors open at 10 a.m. at our practice facility. Yep. And players will be there to sign autographs and take pictures. And you can meet guys that are new to us. And I think it'll be a lot of fun for our fans. It'll be inflatables and food trucks. It'll be a good time.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. Want to get into a topic today that you and I have never talked about. This is perfect. This is right up your alley. You're the perfect person to talk to about this. We all are, as parents, have children. We all, want our kids to be athletically steeped into some type of sport. Some parents make their kids maybe take a music lesson and then a sport. Some parents don't mind their kids playing multiple sports. Some parents only want their kids to play one sport. And obviously, when you have a kid that's doing really, really well at a young age, you think that kid's going to go on to bigger and better things. And I think as a parent, we all want to believe in our children and hope that's a possibility. So according to a national representative online survey of 1,036 participants who kids play school, community, and travel sports, 83% of parents believe their child or children have the skills to play at the college level. 49% are confident that their child will receive an athletic scholarship. And 75% believe they have the skills to play professionally, despite long odds that suggest otherwise. Research suggests that parents are deeply committed to supporting their children's athletic potential, not just for the joy of sport, but as a pathway to higher education and future success. This was a result of U.S. adults with children aged 7 to 18 who participate in youth sports conducted March 1st to 6th. Also includes parents are pouring in money, believing they're investing in an ultimate payoff. First of all, tell me, I just gave you some percentages. Tell me how far off we are there.
Well, there's a lot there. I mean, I am a parent of four. All four of my kids played different sports. I think it's healthy to, if you identify something that your child seems to be good at, and if you have the means, both time and resources to get them additional training or coaching or specialized, I think that's fine with an asterisk. And that asterisk is that, one, you can really overdo it and overuse joints and muscles to create injuries that are 3 years away. Today, when they do it, you go, oh, it's, they're fine. No, look, he's fine. She's fine. And it's going to show up in a few years. So that's one thing, is you've got to diversify what you do. People that have their kid playing one sport, you know, starting at age eight, think that they're helping their child create focus and attention on that thing so that they're so much better than everybody else. But by the time that 8-year-old is 12, they'll never want to see a baseball bat or a golf club or whatever it is again. They'll hate it so much that they can't stand doing it. So you got to create variety. And there's a physiological benefit to that variety too, being able to move your knees and your hips and your ankles differently based on the sport. I know there's a lot of similar athletic movements. Running feels like running, but it's not just the same all the time. Basketball is different than baseball, which is different than football, etc. And so creating that variety is good. And any trainer or sports medicine professional would tell you that. And then I think what I've observed is people are delusional in how hard it is to, one, get a college scholarship or be a college player. They don't realize how much different it is than youth or high school sports. I think sometimes you get a kid who's the best or one of the best at your high school team, and you think, well, of course, they're going to go on to greatness. Well, being the best in your town, I mean, it's just such a small group of people. You're talking about, you know, there's 7 million kids playing high school football, and then 15,000 are playing Division I football at the FBS level. Yeah. I mean, think of that. And that's all grades. That's not 15,000 a year per grade. That's 15,000. 15,000. And that, now I'm not counting FCS. I don't know what that, I haven't done that math, but I have done it at the FBS level. And that is a dramatically small number of people. Now, if you, again, talking football, you're going to go from 15,000 freshmen to seniors to 1,500 in the NFL. And so when you think about how small a group that is, I just don't think that people really have a strong grasp on how very different professional athletes are physically and how driven they are mentally and how much they prepare. Basketball players that play at the next level, somewhere around high school, they realized that they wanted to be great even more than their parents want them to be great, mm-hmm. which is a lot. And you got to, as the player yourself, you've got to be so driven to be not just better, but like be great and do things that other people aren't doing. You got to spend more time in the gym than anybody else is. It's not just something people talk about. It's real. You can't be one of the best players in the world, which if you were in the NBA, you are. I don't care if you sit on the last seat on the bench on the worst team in the NBA, you're one of the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, people kind of don't get that. And you can hear, you know, fans and people talk about, oh, that guy stinks. Hey, man, he plays for the Clippers and he's on the roster. He doesn't stink. Let's, yeah. you know, perspective here. And so many players that are the best college players that most of us have ever seen, they're playing in Europe. You know, and yeah, they're playing professionally and they're getting paid to do it, but they're not in the NBA. Yeah. And they were awesome in college, you know. And so I just not a really good perspective on how different it is. I've even heard my own kids make reference to teammates or kids at their school. Oh, my gosh, he or she is amazing. Amazing? I don't know that we have the same definition of amazing. Hey, they're a good player and the best player that we have, but amazing?
How often do you, and first of all, the two numbers that really stick out to me, I can't believe that 50% of parents believe that their kids are going to get an athletic scholarship, which is amazing. And then 75% believe they have skills to play professionally at some other level. I mean, I'm a glass half full. I'm a silver yeah. lining guy. I like to see my kids, but I can also tell you when my kids suck at something, they're not very good at it. My son's got a black belt in Taekwondo. It's because he could not play anything else. Yeah. And he was an individual and he had a black belt. So he's very, very good. He's not the best black belt, but he got his black belt after 3.5 years. So these numbers are, and I love to see parents get excited for their kids. I've also read the Andre Agassi book. I've read some books about Michael Jackson and they have got parents that just push them and push them and push them because they see something in them they perhaps don't see in themselves. And
they're living vicariously through them.
They are, particularly if they failed at a particular level or they were very successful at it, i.e. LeBron James and Bronny. And now I'm not saying Bronny doesn't want to play basketball because obviously he's very, very good at it and he wants to play at the next level. And I don't know if he'll ever be as good as his dad, but I mean, that's one of those things. We're going to tell people how to parent, but I do want to kind of put a little check mark here at this point in the show in that what as your father, and this is very personal, but as a father, what did you ask your children to do? And then if you saw something in one of your kids that they didn't really realize how good they were at it and they didn't want to do it anymore, how'd you deal with it?
Yeah. So all four of my kids played different sports. So my oldest is my physical opposite. He was a distance runner. My number two, she was a swimmer. Number three was football, baseball. And number four is a gymnast. And I've told them, if it's not fun, then you shouldn't do it. Yep. You know? That you shouldn't be doing anything that feels like work. And that doesn't mean that going to practice, everybody at some point is going to dread going to practice. You know, my gymnast daughter, for example, she's 24 hours a week in the gym. But if she didn't want to do it, if at any point she wanted to stop, I love watching her compete, but I don't want her to be miserable. And so I know, and this was one of the things you were touching on a minute ago, there's a lot more money, and I don't mean a little, a lot more money in college academically than there is in athletics. Mm-hmm. And so I'd much rather her focus on her schoolwork and her studies. And if that at any point I felt like she couldn't keep up with that because of gymnastics, we won't do gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And she knows that. And so I've asked all of them if it's something they wanted to do in college. That could be because of what I do. It maybe becomes a topic of discussion more readily or more easily or more frequently. So, you know, is this something you want to do? And if they say yes, which the boys both did, but the girls have both said no, which is fine. Then we talk about what do we need to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And is that realistic? And what are the things that we would need to accomplish to get there? So my oldest, you know, the funny thing about running and swimming that I love is it doesn't matter who your dad is. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter what your connections are or any of this political crap. If you're faster, you win. And it's just you and the watch. And Tony, if you're faster than me in the water, well, then prove it.
Yeah.
But the fact that your dad was the coach that puts you in a position to start will have no bearing on the results. And that's what you have, I think, at the youth level, that with other sports is like so many people say, well, you know, if you don't coach, your kid's not going to be the shortstop or the pitcher. And if you don't coach, your kid's not going to be the quarterback or the running back. And if you don't coach, your son's not going to be the point guard. Forget it. And that's so incredibly true. It just is true. It is absolutely true. Not with every single team anywhere. The best programs are the ones where you have a person that's coaching because they love to coach and they don't have a kid on the team. That's the best scenario, but there's still some friend relationship with a person. And, you know, so that's unavoidable a little bit, but that's the beauty of sports like swimming and running. And so my oldest, you know, I said, look, man, you know, you've got to follow your training. You can't take days off. You got to put mileage on your legs and then you got to recover and you got to eat. And, you know, we were constantly on him mainly about his nutrition. You know, he didn't eat enough or he didn't drink enough. You know, it was like, man, like this has to kind of become a job. Yeah. And you got to be careful not to call it that because now it's not fun. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't do it if it's not fun. But, but you have to be focused, you know, and I said to him, I was like, look, man, if I'm looking at a line graph and my interest looks like this and yours looks like this, we got a problem. I was like, your interest has to be like, if mine's like this, you gotta be like that.
Yeah.
At some point, these two parallel lines got to split off and you got to take off. And that's the way I kind of describe it. And if it's not the case, that's okay. But don't think delusionally that you can be something that you're not. And so I called a bunch of college coaches when my son was a freshman. I just cold called him. And I just said, hey, listen, my son runs, these are the races he runs. I said, I'm not trying to be the crazy parent. What I am trying to do is set some goals for him to understand mm-hmm. what good really looks like. Because just winning a race here doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go to run it or whatever the best place is. And so I got times, you know, and I said, okay, so by his senior year, he needs to run these times. Yeah. And I went back to him. Well, at that moment, that was an insurmountable, I'll never get there kind of thing. And he ran the mile and the 2 mile. And I remember he needed to run like a four, like, and this varied school to school, but I'm just going to give you an average. He needed to run like a 4:15 mile.
Wow.
to walk on.
Wow.
At any of the places that I called. I called probably 15 Division I kind of FBS schools in the Southeast region. Notre Dame was one of them, I remember. And he was at like 5:25, maybe something like that. Five something.
He's way off. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, ugh. And I was like, look, man, you're going to grow and you're going to get stronger And like, let's say he improved by 30 seconds from freshman to sophomore year. And I was like, okay, look at that progression. And I said, you know, 6 months ago or 9 months ago, you thought, there's no way I'll get there, but look at how much you've eaten into this. And I was like, so there's a plan, but I just try to create a plan. And with my daughter, who did love to swim, she loved to swim, but she just said, swimming in college has to be your life. You swim in the morning before school, you go to school with your hair soaking wet, smell like chlorine. And then right after school, you're back in the pool again in the afternoon. The swimmers swim twice a day. People don't understand college swimming. They are swimming twice a day, every day. And they were doing it in high school too.
Yeah.
And I said to her, coming into freshman year of high school, I was like, hey, look, if you want to do this, we need to talk about kind of increasing your, you know, are you at the right place? Are you getting the right training?
Swimmers are different animals, man. I mean, it's a totally different thing, because you're racing yourself. I know you're racing against someone, but you can't see the other person. You can't hear the other person. You're underwater. You're by yourself. I mean, to me, that is like the ultimate. And again, just the pressure the body goes through. It's probably certainly one of the healthiest sports you can be in, because you don't have, you're not getting hit by a truck every time you run a football.
But you know, in distance running, you can talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, like, even when you're training, if you and I go out and we got to go run 8 miles at a fast pace, we're still talking a little bit.
Yeah.
You're not doing any of that in the pool.
No.
And she said, I just don't want it to be my life. I love it. Okay. And so she kept swimming, and she was as good as she could be for high school. And that was great. And she was happy.
Yeah.
But she didn't have any desire.
UAB Director's Chair, he is the UAB Athletic Director, joins us every single week. Mark Ingram right here on Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. Get that bad boy. 100,000 folks have already done it. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And of course, go to UABsports.com, UABsports.com. I've never been a travel guy. I've got friends of mine who are travel guys and will stick it in my face. And I got a friend of mine that's got two daughters that are playing softball at Lipscomb. I'm like, good for you. That's great. He creates these memories for himself. He's got a little travel thing, and his job permits him to take every weekend off and go travel all over the country. They've been doing tournaments ever since they were in eighth grade. And that's great. If that's what you're into, I probably spent $100,000 on his daughter to play softball. Now, I know there's not a professional softball league, which I think is interesting, because at the time,
well, there is, but there's no money in it.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to graduate, and what is she going to do? Go to a church league? I don't know, but she's happy. So I don't understand. And I've always been really, really blessed, because these people that go take two and three jobs so their kids can go travel ball. Ain't happened in my family. I mean, no. But I get it. And I think it's great. When parents, particularly, in the state of Alabama, where football is king, but you brought this up last week. We were talking about the NIL and how many people now are agents, and they're taking 20% as opposed to 4-5%. How often, as an athletic director, do you deal with parents?
Oh, you know, my parents would have never called the AD when I was in school. My parents would have never. The only thing that would have caused my parents to call my coach or the AD would be if they had heard that somehow I had been physically harmed in some way, you know, beat up in the parking lot. Hey, 10 guys beat him up in the locker room. Something, it would have been like awful, you know, bad, awful like that.
Did that happen?
No, that did not happen. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, I'm imagining that's maybe what would have caused a phone call. They would have never considered that. One, I think we're more accessible, right? I mean, again, going back to that time period, email didn't even exist. Forget social media or other things. But because of social media, now I've got to pay attention to it. The AD back then would have just been like, hey, I'm the athletic director. Talk to the coach. I don't deal with that. I don't talk to parents. Or probably wouldn't have even called them back. But now, if you do that, then people start posting, you know, that I've tried to call and they won't take my call. And then you kind of lose that public battle.
Yeah.
And the public doesn't even know what it's about. And so you kind of have to. And parents have gotten clever. They'll say things like, they'll leave a message or send an email that says, I'm concerned about my child. I need to speak to you at once. And listen, we've had situations where I'm so glad that the parent called, because it was something we weren't aware of, and their child needed help, you know, whether it was a They were just going through a tough time at school, and, you know, maybe they had a loss, a death in the family, and the dog died too, and it was just all piled up, and they were depressed, and we were able to get to that person and help, you know. But more than nine times out of 10, it relates back to playing time. And so they'll come up with all sorts of reasons that something's going on that's not just simply their child isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. It's the coach is mean. They hate them for some reason. The coach is disrespectful to the players. They treat them terribly. And I'm not saying that that could not be true, but I think by and large, most coaches realize that in the modern era, being sensitive is like paramount. And again, my high school coaches, for punishment, maybe there were times where they were like, okay, there is no water break because you didn't go hard enough. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you lose your job over that today, yeah. Period. Yeah. End of discussion, right? My high school coaches grabbed our face mask. That never bothered me. It never bothered me. I never even thought it was a problem.
Yeah.
That today, you lose your job over it. Mm-hmm. And so coaches know this, and I think that they are more sensitive. So when parents, you know, want to get into that, like they didn't know they were going to run stadium steps or something. It's like, well, they went to practice. Like, what do you mean? You know, and I've had parents schedule meetings with me where they talk about their child being late and that the coach got on for being late to practice in front of the team. And then their description is your coach intentionally publicly humiliated my child. And now they have anxiety and can't go to practice. And now they're seeing a therapist over their anxiety. It's like,
yeah.
Mm. Wait, what? You know, so look, none of us want our kids to fail. I think all of the stuff you're asking about is rooted in the fact that none of us want our children to fail. We all want ourselves and our family and our friends and our kids to all be successful. And so anything we can do to help, we want to help. But failure is not a bad thing either. And some failure is good and is motivating for the next go round. And I just think failure to some degree is a part of life. I think you've got to deal with that. I think you've got to learn how to overcome things. It's one of the things I really hate about the transfer portal. And it's not the portal, but it's the ability to transfer without penalty now, is that if things aren't just perfect, well, just that's okay. Just get back in the portal and go restart.
Sure.
And then it's perfect again and get back in the portal and go restart. And that's not a good life lesson. And the lessons that sports teaches, which is teamwork and camaraderie and getting along with people, that to achieve a common goal, look, you don't have to be best friends with everybody on the team, but if we can figure out a way to get along and manage our differences to help the team go win the game and a championship, whatever, like that's what it's about. Cause you're not going to get along with everybody. You're going to be best friends with every single person you work with.
Sure.
But that's not what we're teaching anymore. I mean, it's what we used to teach. And so those are the concerning things. And the parents sometimes can't help themselves. Now, conversely, I've had a conversation with a parent recently who started off with, I'm so sorry that I'm calling you. I know that that's not the role. And I promise you'll never hear from me again. I just have a quick question and I don't know who else to ask. It was like so basic and that was totally fine. But like they acknowledged, like, I'm out of line for reaching out to you. I just don't really know who else to call. That's and, yeah. And so I totally get it. That's okay. But, yeah, we get some of those more than you would think, and they'll reach out to the coaches. Same thing. You know, you raised your voice at my child. And you're like,
yeah,
you know what your child did. Cause that's the other part, Tony, is the parent rarely knows the full story from the child.
Sure.
Right. Can you imagine your son coming home and saying, Dad, I was horrible at school today. Let me start with, it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher did this or the coach did that. I mean, that's just not the way the story ever goes. It's I don't even know what I did.
No, the coach was always right. I mean, if something happened at school, I got it at school, I knew I was going to get it worse at home. Because my dad knew the coach was taking was doing the right thing. He wasn't supporting me. So, hey, great stuff, and I'm so glad we talked about this. Yeah, because it's really great stuff. UABSports.com is the website. He's the athletic director. We'll talk some classic rock next week. Of course, we got a few more weeks here before we get back into college football season. Mark, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man, we've got a huge weekend with baseball and softball this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that spring showcase with football on Saturday. So bring your families, come out and support the kids and meet our team and support baseball and softball, too. Should be a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.